Identity. Can you help me the next slide? A chosen generation proclaiming his praise in counterculture submission in the world. That's part two of our series. And let's go to the next slide. Skip that next slide. Christian, our eternal truth. Christian live out their identity through submission, which is hard. Good works, which many other things that will take us to heaven. And Christ-like suffering, which is also hard. But Jesus tells us that we're going to look at in our passage this afternoon. So quick recap. We started off with say, our identity, our chosen generation proclaiming God's praise. And as our identity, we are a temple of God. We are the priesthood. We are God's people and God's possession, meaning that God chose or we did not choose ourselves. Can I get an amen? So don't be going around and say, I am. No, you're not. It's God. Amen? And quickly we see that as a temple, you are the living stone in God's what? Creational temple. God's new creational temple. And as a priesthood, you are a priest in God's holy priesthood. A royal priest. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you are a people. You are God's chosen race. He said, a holy nation called you out. Amen? And not only that, you are people for God's own possession. And you ask me, how do I know that? Because the book of Genesis tells us that when God created everything, he said, let us what? Make man in our own image. And man didn't make themselves. So God created man and everything. God said, everything was perfect. So our identity in a world of chaos, in a world of suffering, our identity should stand out who we are, remembering who God called us to be. Amen. And we talk about our duty as believers. Since we now know who we are, right? Oh, nobody answering me. We now know who we are, right? We are the chosen generation. We are royal priesthood, right? We were chosen by God. So our identity is clear and cut. We know exactly if somebody walks in who you are. I'm a chosen generation. I'm God's child. God chose me. When I was lost in sin, he found me. He brought me. He cleansed me. He took away my sin by going on the cross. So now I'm a new person. So even in the midst of trials and everything I found myself going through, I can still stand on God's word because of my new identity. Amen.
Amen.
And as our identity, we are to abstain our duty now as Christians. Abstain from sinful desire. Peter talks about that. And maintain an honorable conduct. Situation around you should not determine who you are. If in Jesus calling, please turn it off. Situation should not depict who we are, right? We should not cave into situations surrounding us. We should remember who we are. That's what Peter says. He said, abstain from sinful desire, maintain honorable conduct. And then we talked about submission to government. Somebody said, Now, when we talk about being submissive or subjecting to government, Peter was clear. And the question, why should we submit? It's crystal clear, right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, we should submit because of what? Oh, please, yeah, help me. I'm just reviewing, so or else we're going to start the message all over. Because of the Lord's sake. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be the what? King or supreme. Whether it be the president. Whether you don't like him. Somebody coughing. But no matter, the bottom line here is you're not loving him, or you're not doing it because you are affiliated with his party or with the government. Or it's not based on anything. It's based on because that's what God says. It's what God says. You may not agree with who he is or who she is or whatever the platform is, but God says submit. And mind you, you may think about when Peter wrote this letter to Nero or the believers that were scattered. And at that time, Nero was governor or the leader. He was one of the most weakest leader that existed. And then imagine Peter telling these believers, say, submit to Nero. Do you know what it means? When believers were being burned, their body was being pulled out, and they were burned as torch light while people were having fun in the arena. And you telling us to submit to this wicked and evil man? But that's what God says, for the Lord's sake. And how should the believer submit? Submit within God's purpose. And look at verse 14. It says, all unto governor as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You know, everything God says, there's a catch. There have to be law and order. There have to be principles. There have to be things set into place. If we don't have a government, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be more. You think there's chaos now? There's going to be more chaos. Things are going to go out of hand. So, government put into place who? God instituted government. God instituted, set it up. Where it's not from the day Moses, God said, Moses, I want you to be the leader for my children. Take them. Moses said, who am I? I can't speak. I can't do this. God led him. Now, our duty is to obey God's word when he says submit. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's difficult to submit, but this is what God wanted us to do. What motivates our submission? Verse 15 to 16 says, because of God's will. That's God's will. Because such submission is the will of God. And when we submit because it's God's will, guess what? As Christian, when the government is not to the way we expect the government to be, when things are not going the right way, we cannot be the one to create chaos. We cannot be the one to demonstrate breaking in and loot, you know, doing all those things, causing problems. No! We should be the one, our lifestyle, who we are, our identity, will be able to silence even those who don't recognize who we are as believers. And that's why that's the message Peter was trying to inform the believers. And not only that, how do we prioritize our submission? It's not when things are good. It's immediate action. Honor. Peter said in verse 17, he said, honor everybody. Continually. Keep loving the brotherhood. Keep fearing God. Continue to honor the king. Even if you don't like him, even if the king of the president pardoned somebody who was a criminal and let them free, please. But God says, submit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's our duty, right? But guess what? It's not everything that we should submit to, right? As believers, we talked about a couple last Sunday. We talked about Daniel. He refused to submit to the king's request when the king gave an order that no one should pray. Daniel decided to do it even three times a day. He even opened her windows, the curtain, so they can see him praying. That no one should, no man should stop you from doing what God called you to do, to honor him. If anything that will cause you to not serve God the right way, you cannot submit to that. Even the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to worship, to bow down to an idol, and they were thrown in the fire furnace. They stood because they knew it was against God. Said to not worship any other God before me. And way back in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were in slavery, King Pharaoh gave a decree and an order that the male wives should kill every Hebrew male child at birth. And the male wives did not do it. They refused to honor King Pharaoh's order. And that's how Moses was saved by the Hebrew midwife. So you see, there are things the government will want us to do that is not in line with God. We cannot agree. We cannot honor those things because it's against the will of God. Are we clear there? Amen. So quickly, we're going to move to our next slide, where we're going to start today. Our example, enduring suffering, submission at work. And the first thing we want to talk about, submission to masters. And next, we're going to look at Christ's example. We look at our duty, consider who we are, our identity, and coming down to our duty, our first duty is to submit to government. Our first duty is to abstain from fleshly desire, have an honorable conduct, and then submit to government. Now Peter is writing, he said, submit to your masters. Now in your workplaces, in your church, and wherever you find yourself, he said, submit. Now here's the thing. Let's go to the scripture. They say, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 20, he said, servants, be submissive to your master with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You know, when Tigger Moses was reading that part, as soon as he said to the harsh, I heard someone say, To the harsh. And not only that, but also he said, for this is what? Commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, let me clear this up. When Peter came out with this passage, when he talks about servants, slaves, he wasn't referring to our American slavery situation. Now, slavery in those days, slaves were kind of referred to as servants. They lived in the house of the masters. They prepared the master's food. And mind you, those days, those who were called slave servants, they were the ones, they were doctors. They were teachers. They were nurses. Any occupation you could think about, they were the one doing everything. They were not on a plantation farm working. They were not involved in that. It said that in America, people took the scripture and used the scripture for the wrong reason when it says slave, obey your masters. That wasn't what Peter was saying. Peter was saying that the servant, the slave that live with the master in your house, even at your job, they are over you. They are the one who provided. You ought to obey them. Even if your master at home was harsh, was a terrible one, obey them. As a matter of fact, there were laws that were protecting even those servants that were living with them in the home as compared to slavery in America. So there was two, it was completely different what the scripture is saying. But you see, men have the way to take what God worships and put it into their own way, into their own thinking, and into their own mindset, and do what they want to do, not what God's word says. And that was the background with Peter. Because these folks, Rome was, or the Roman was controlling the entire world. So why, if I'm controlling the entire world, why would I do the work? I just sit back and allow people to do the work. So that's the, and that's basically, so all these positions of nurses, doctors, teachers, they were all done by these servants. Slavery in America, were there any doctors? No. Were they teachers? No. They were not even allowed to learn. So you see what I'm talking? But Peter's plan was that they should, even if you're living in the house of your master and he harsh, he said, obey. Why? Because of a conscience toward God and endure grief. He said, this is why commendable. Now, when Peter talked about this, if they were to revolt believers, they didn't have the ground to revolt against the Roman authority. They would kill them. But if they give, obey, the bottom line here is that when you are submissive as believers, and because of their submissiveness, and because they obey, guess what? Christianity overcame slavery in the Roman world. Now, in the book of Philemon, the slave owner, the masters were even coming to church with the servant who were not pastor, who were not teaching, and they were sitting there listening to them from the gospel. And in time, guess what? Christianity grew and overcame slavery in the Roman world. Slavery did not overcome Christianity, but Christianity overcame. So yes, and Peter is saying that submit to your masters, submit to your leaders, because you are called to do what? Good work. Now, mind you, everyone will be accountable for their own doing. The government that is not right, the president that is not right, the masters that is not right, God is going to deal with them. And that's why I say, the Lord said, vengeance is what? Mine. And I will what? Repay. Not you. So all we need to do is obey. And it's kind of hard. And this is where Peter comes and he gave us an example. Help me, let's go to the next slide. Who we can follow? Jesus. Jesus, about his example, he said, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He committed what? No sin. And look what he said. There was no deceit found in his mouth. He did not revile in return. He did not threaten. No. He didn't do any of these things. But he said, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going what? Astray. But guess what? But now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Submission, church. Even in the world that is chaotic, even in the time that we cannot understand what is going on, Peter is encouraging us to submit. And there's another part of submission that Pastor Gary is going to speak on. And I told you, we got a double dose for you.
I gave Pastor Ansu the hard dose. So now mine's much easier. Wives, submit to your husbands. Right, that's a hard one too, right? They're all hard. We both drew the short straw. We both drew it, right? So, just as you guys move on, we're going to slide right on down in the context. And Andrea, take us down. And Pastor Ansel, you forgot that last slide, but I'll say it. Check out Christ's example for suffering, right? He didn't sin with his words. And by the way, think about us. When we're under pressure and things are going wrong, what's the first thing that happens? Doesn't our mouth flap? Yeah, and by the way, me and Pastor Ansel, our mouth can flap fast. Right? You know, and we all fall into that problem, right? Jesus didn't deceive anybody. Sometimes we use deception to get what we want. We work situations to get what we want. We do all those things, right? He didn't retaliate. Now, how many people, if I came over and said, boom, and I punched you right in your face, would you say, oh, Pastor Gary, hit this side too? You wouldn't do that, right? Right, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, right, God changes us, right? He gives us a strength that goes beyond our human strength. Jesus didn't threaten anybody. Pastor Ansu said that, right? Think about it. He didn't say, if you do that one more time, you know what's going to happen, right? He didn't do that, right? But he did, and this, by the way, this is the foundation of biblical submission, right? Not earthly or worldly submission to manipulate you to do what I want. But biblical submission, the foundation is, I trust in the living God. And I know, as Pastor Anthony just said, I know he is going to take care of vengeance if vengeance is needed. And I know he's going to take care of me. He's going to keep me even though it seems like I can't be kept. He's going to do all those things. Right? So that's sort of the foundation. And I want to slide down. I want to talk about the next part. And by the way, this book is tough, isn't it? It's tough. It makes us want to do things that our flesh just fights against, right? I want to be the boss. I don't want to submit. Isn't that who we all are? You know, can I get an amen on that too, right? Isn't that too? I don't know, people, do you want to do what I want? No, you want to do what you want, right? That's human nature, by the way. And that is the sin nature, the fleshly nature that just wants to do what it wants. Because it's usually misguided. So we're going to look at a couple parts real fast. We think about this idea of submission. And go back one slide. Thanks for reading my mind there, but you're a little quicker than my mind. Here's the first thing. He talks about, and get this in your mind, by the way. And any other passages, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, right? That's not the idea, right? But notice, and he uses this word. He says, holy women. And he talks about the guys, too, by the way. This is not just, let's beat down the women to do what us men want them to do. Nope, because God doesn't work that way. In fact, he says in the book of Galatians, he says, we are the same before a living God, right? And he also talks about men, and talks about holy men. And I want you to think about it this way, right? Holy men and holy women are what? Remember that passage? That, by the way, we have our memory passages we're working on in the first chapter, but this ought to be one too. We are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood who proclaim praises unto our God. You know, we just sang it. You guys sang it. Isaac and Rachel sang it. We sang it in the beginning. But God wants our life to proclaim it in the way we live it, not just in our lips and what they say. That's the difference, right? So we're going to talk about these two people briefly this morning as well and kind of get a handle on this. And Andrea, take us right on down. And I want you guys to check this out. Look what it says. By the way, I kind of highlighted or made bold some keywords, right? Look what it says. Likewise. In other words, in the same way we as believers can submit to our leaders and our rulers because it's going to silence people that look at us and say, those Christians are just like everybody else. In the same way, the foundation where we learn how to do that and the foundation where we practice it and perfect it is where? At home. That was kind of a weak amen, huh, Pastor? That's kind of weak. But, I mean, I want to stop. Everybody look up for a second real fast, right? Think about this. In our homes, right, when we raise up our kids, That needs to be the place where we know how to resolve conflict. We learn when there's an issue, we don't just sweep it under the rug because it always comes back out. We have to work it through. And I'll throw this out, and this is the idea about submission in general. I want you guys to think with me for a second. If people don't follow instruction, if they're on a team, how does that work out? By the way, it doesn't matter today. I know the Eagles play today, the Giants, the Cowboys, everybody's playing, right? It doesn't matter what team you're on. The running back can't say, I want to go left. I know the coach said, you guys block right, I'm going to go right. If the running back goes left, what happens to the running back? He gets creamed, he gets crushed, right? It doesn't work when we just live a chaotic, selfish life to do what we want. It doesn't really work. It doesn't work in your house. It doesn't work at your job. It doesn't work in the world. And it doesn't work in God's church either. And the place we learn how to figure this out, and the place we see this model best, is in our homes. And that's what he talks about here. And he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And by the way, check it out. Notice the thought here, because you're all going like, but my husband is a dog. Right? You're going like, I ain't listening to that guy. You know, you might be thinking that. And I see y'all smiling. And I know some of you guys are going, ooh, I don't know about my guy, right? You know, I'll say this, by the way, in a serious way. You know what? If he's here and he is trying to grow, he's someone that God is changing. He might be a little bit of a dog, but he's probably a little less of a dog than he was last week. You know? And we're all moving in that direction. So he says, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, and by the way, everybody look up. You know, how many of us obey the word 100% of the time, all the time? Nobody, right? So guess what? Your husband is a dog sometimes. And wives, I'm not going to say it, but you can go with that path, that thing, right? We get it, right? And he says, they, even without a word, may be won by the conduct of your wives. And I want to give you guys a principle. Here's the deal. When we're resolving issues, right, if we just keep going head to head, head to head, head to head, head to head, all we do is bang our heads, right? The way the person has to be won to change is in their heart. And the heart isn't usually won by beating on it or fighting or kicking or pushing back. The heart is won when they see someone act like Christ, someone who is godly, someone who suffers for right, not for wrong. Right, that's the difference. And he says this, he says, that they might be won by the conduct of their wives, even when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And let me say this, everybody look up. This is really important. Because people, again, take this text and they make a mess out of it and they confuse us. This doesn't mean, wives, that you ought to fear your husbands. It means you fear God. And by the way, the book of Ephesians says the same thing. It says, you know, submit to each other in the fear of God. We do this in the fear of God because, and by the way, this doesn't mean I'm just cowering away from God. It's because God knows the end from the beginning. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. And he's all-powerful. And he said, this is, if you live life this way, it's going to work. If you don't, you're kind of on your own making a mess of it, right? And that's what this idea of fear is, fearing God. He says, and check this out. Don't let your adornment... And everybody, here's the cool thing. You know, we come to church, and by the way, you know, we try to work this out. By the way, the ladies in the praise team, you're making it tough for us men because we don't have, like, all these colors that y'all have. So, yeah, we had to wear brown, and I had to fish this thing out. Pastor Andrew, he texted me this morning. He's like, what are we going to do? Right? So he said, let's wear gray. I got this blue shirt with a brown stripe, and I got kind of a brown tie. He said, that'll work. Right? You know? But, you know, we try to look good on Sunday, and our outward adorning, you know, and by the way, we kind of have fun with this as a praise team. It's kind of a blessing thing, right? We try to look like we are a team because we are, and we love each other. We work together, right? But here's the challenge, right? It's not just about what's on the outside of the praise team, Pastor Gary, Pastor Ansel, or anybody else, or on you. And he says this, this idea of submission is this. He says, it's not just your adornment that you wear, arranging your hair. And by the way, you know, everyone, like young people, you guys looked amazing today. You sang beautiful, right? Your hair was beautiful. But it's more than that. He says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. And I'll throw this out. That kind of Christ-like quietness, humility, submission changes the world. And that's the key. That's what he's talking about here. This is hard because our flesh, we want to be boss. But if we live like this, we're going to see our husbands change and our kids change and our world change. Our church will change. Everything will change. And again, because the wife can't be the running back running away from the blocker. She needs to be the running back running behind them. Right? She needs to be working in tandem. Like, think about this. Our homes work when everybody pitches in and does it what they need to do as each one of us as the body, right? And that's why he wants our homes to work in the same way. And he says, for in this manner, in the former times, and this is where I got that idea, the holy women who, and by the way, would you read that for me? The holy women who did what? Who trusted in God also adorned themselves. And that's the point, right? The point isn't just, you know, listen to your husband. I know he's a tyrant and he wants what he wants. No. You're trusting in God. You know, and if that guy, if he's got a little bit of an issue still, I'm trusting in God. God put us together. God's going to change that clown, and he's going to be good one day. He's going to be who God wants him to be, right? And again, I'll throw this out. Is there limits for this? Yeah, there absolutely is. Like, you know, if I said to Jane, hey, I wake up one morning and say, you know, baby, I got this great idea. We're going to go dive down the bank. I'm going to rob it, but I need you to be out front and you drive. Right? And she might say for a minute, yeah, I think we could use a little bit of money. But then she said, wait a second. I'm not driving. You know, God doesn't want us to do that. Right? And again, there's limitations, right? And Pastor Ansu quoted, we said it, right? The book of Acts says it. Other places say it. We are to do what? Obey God, not men. Right? There's limits, right? There's absolutely limits. And again, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is a spirit-led thing, and God leads us that way. And I try to say this at the bottom, right? He says, we voluntarily submit to another, obey or yield to one another in love. That's the idea of submission in the text. The Greek word is upotasso, a work of the Holy Spirit and the Word. The work of the Holy Spirit enables me to do this. And by the way, a lack of submission usually results in division. And everybody look up for a second. What do we see in America today? Division all over the place, right? We can go all the way to the top. Politically, division. In our homes, division. In our church, division. Right, why? Because nobody wants to submit to even what's right. Now, I'm not saying submit to what's wrong. I'm saying submit to what's right. Right? And we see chaos. You know, and Pastor Anthony said about, think about that in our government. You know, no one, we like to live in a democracy. We don't want to live in an anarchy. Where everyone, remember in the book of Judges, the Old Testament said this, it said everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And God had to keep sending seven times other countries in to get Israel woken up, repentant, and changed. Because it was just terrible. We don't want our homes to be that way. We don't want the chaos that we're seeing a little bit out there where we live. I like to go in my house at 16 Longwood Drive and shut the door, and there's peace. Not chaos. Right? Do we have problems? You betcha. But we don't have chaos too often. Right? And when husbands and wives work that way, we can avoid that problem, right? And that's what God's saying here to us. So we're going to shoot down to the next thing, Andre, if you would. Remember I said, This ain't God just talking to women, beating us down. And by the way, some people say, oh, God is, you know, he's a male chauvinist. No, God's the holy God. He created both sexes, or now the new word is genders. He created both things, right? And then we said to the men, just like he said to the kings, you're on the hook too. He said, husbands, but there's that word again. What's it say? Likewise. In the same way, because you're a chosen generation, the royal priesthood, you're the same way. He says, dwell with them, meaning your wives, with understanding. And the word for this Greek word gnosis, knowledge. Dwell with them with knowledge. You ought to know your wife, her strengths, her weaknesses, what her issues are, what her challenges are, what her fears are, what her dreams are, all those things, right? We ought to be studying that and getting better at that as we get older and older. He says, dwell with them that way. And he says, giving honor to the wife. He doesn't say, men, step all over them and make them do what you want. He says, give them honor because they're honorable vessels that God gave us as men. Right? They're not someone to stand on, step on, beat down, you know, get our power from. No. And by the way, he says this, another word, another phrase that everyone goes, oh, what's he talking about? As to the weaker vessel. What's he mean by that? Here's what it means. By the way, women tend to be weaker physically. It's not 100%. Men tend to be bigger, stronger. We have, you know, hormones that make us that way, right? But he says, treat your wife like a weaker vessel. And I heard a commentator say it this way. How many people, it's not like a big deal this day. How many people have China? You know what China is? Like in old days, you would get married and you get this, you put on your list what you want from everybody, some China pattern, right? Now here's the interesting thing. When you get China, China is beautiful usually. It's expensive. It's not, you know, you usually like Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? And the rest of the year it sits in the China cabinet and collects dust, right? But here's the deal. When you have China, do you throw it around? You know, I never said to my kids, hey, Phil, here goes the China. Dan, here's one for you. No, you treat it how? Like the precious thing that it is. And here's the challenge, right? Husbands, your wife, treat her like China. Don't treat her like a board, a brick, a rock, or worse. Treat her that way. And I'll throw this out, wouldn't that just revolutionize a lot of our marriages? Right? Like if a husband and wives, if they just interacted at a different way, it'd be so different, right? And he says this, by the way, he says, being heirs together. Everybody look up. Sounds funny, but I'll say it. Guess what? You all married your sister in Christ. You're joint heirs of salvation together. You're going to be in heaven together. You're going to spend all of eternity not together as husband and wife, but together in heaven, right? So treat her like that. She's one of God's children, by the way. Does God let one child in his family beat up the other one? No. Right? So he says, treat her that way as the person who ought to be honored. Serve her. By the way, men, look up. You know what? We as husbands, and I try to do this to the best of my ability. I mess it up all the time, but I try to be the biggest servant in the house. You know what? Don't make her life harder. Make it easier. Right? That's what God's called us to do. And by the way, it goes a long way. Is it perfect? No, but it goes a long way. By the way, you know, guess what? Guess who we model when we do that? Jesus, right? Remember he said he wanted us to be what in Mark chapter 10? Servants of everyone, right? He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And we came to serve, and men, we really came to serve in our homes, right? Again, is it perfect? No, but by the grace of God, let's move our lives in that direction, right? That's the key, right? And I want us to kind of get that. And by the way, last thing he says is this, that your prayers may not be hindered. Isn't that a funny expression? What was he talking about that? Everybody look up, get this, right? Especially men look up. Get this, right? If you treat your wife bad, it's going to hinder your relationship with God. Because your relationship with God is predicated on how you relate to your wife, according to Peter, who spoke under the power of the Holy Spirit and wrote it down. Isn't that interesting? You know, we want all our prayers to be answered as husbands. Well, start treating your wife like Jesus would. And your prayers will get answered. They won't be hindered by those things, right? And I, you know, I kind of covered most of those things. And the last thing, I'll just say it this way. You know, the home is where we learn all this stuff. Your children will follow your example. For good or for bad. They're respected. They see respect and honor and love and servanthood and submission. Guess what? Our kids wake up and they grow up and they understand that's how it's supposed to be. They look for a husband who's going to do that or a wife who's going to do that. Right? And by the way, isn't that all our prayers? That's all of our prayers. Like down the road, we're looking, some of us are saying, well, Eric, my kids are young, way down the road, though, but that's the kind of husband or wife you want your children to be, right? And that's where I want to leave us today. Go down real quick, if you would, and we're going to stop. Go down to the next one. We're going to skip this part, and we'll pick it up next time. And we're going to go to our application this morning, which is a couple more slides, Andrea. Our response, and go down one more. Here's our response. So what are we going to do with all this? But all the submission stuff, man, I'm so glad we've done that. We talk about some better stuff right at church, right? No, right? We're supposed to become the chosen generation even in the tough areas. Right? It's tough stuff to talk about this stuff and think about it. And I want to challenge you guys. I didn't forget. Are we working on memorizing 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 16? Remember the key concepts, right? What do we need? Man, we need a heart of worship, right? We need an attitude of hope, and we need a mind for holiness that includes submission. We need those things. That's who we got to be. That's who we got to become or are becoming. Hopefully that process has started, right? And I want to challenge us. I'm going to ask this question. You can look up or you can look down. Don't go to sleep, but here's the key thing. Is submission a reality for you? With the government, with your boss, and in your house. You don't have to nod, you don't have to look at me, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, is that real? Because we do gotta look at God, and if that's not true, then we need to repent so that our life lines up better with God. And husbands, by the way, if you're treating your wife pretty bad right now, we gotta repent so our life lines up with Christ. Right, we got to change. Repentance means, you know what? I'm going that way, and I just learned that's the wrong way. And now I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to really try, by the grace of God, in the power of God's Holy Spirit that he gave all of us, to be different, to change. And we need to reorient our practices, our habits, in obedience to God's word. Remember that third thing, right? Three things, a heart of worship, an attitude of hope, and what? A mind for holiness. And that mind for holiness drives submission and living as a servant to suffer like Jesus did. Amen? We're going to close with a word of prayer. And praise team, come on up. Father God, thank you for your word today. And I ask, Lord, that you would just take your word, Lord, surgically to our hearts this morning, that we might truly follow you, that we might truly change where we need it. And dear God, I hope our response personally in our heart is the response of our praise team today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we all stand, please, as we sing this song? Let the church say amen. With all that have been said.
We left kind of conflicted. Pastor Ansu had that tough message about the government, right? We have a little better grasp of submission today. Not just the government, still hard, but we know vengeance is God's, right? Says the Lord. God's going to make things right. We talked a little bit about our business relationships, our jobs, our masters, our employers. Wow, they're not all perfect either, but God's in control of that too. And now we talked about our house. And I want to ask the question today. Is the church saying amen? Not the church out there, but the church right here. Are we saying amen? We're called to live like Jesus. And it's hard. But let's say amen. And let's pray that God in His power by His Spirit and by His Word would make us more like Christ. Amen? That's the answer. We're going to pray us out. By the way, one last thing. I know I'm supposed to say this, right? We have some electric cords, light bulbs, and shower heads at the back. They're free. They're a donation to us. We want to just bless you guys with it. I know everybody can use those items. So Chris is going to be back there. Chris Vasquez, trying to give that stuff out. So take some of those things. Share it with your family, your friends, anybody needs one. You take more than one. But everybody gets one, and it'll be a blessing. Okay. So Pastor Anthony, pray this out.
Amen. Just before I pray, I just want to share this. You know, I was reading this, and this mother of a 3-year-old child who was giving her a terrible time, and she called him and said, "Thomas, come here." And she was trying to put him in line, and she said, "Look at me." And he looked at her and he said, "Who's in charge in this house?" And this little boy who'd been to Sunday school, listening to the teachings of the teachers, and looked at his mother and he said, "Jesus is in charge." So what am I trying to say is that no matter what the circumstances is in submission, guess what? Jesus is in charge.
Amen.
Not the government, not your husband, not your wife, but Jesus. If you submit to Jesus, you'll be able to submit to every other thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us this week as we go to remember that you are in charge. And that, Lord, no matter what the situation, Lord, we will submit to you as you have urged us. And let us remember that you are in control. And that, Lord, that we are the chosen people loved by you, oh God. And that, Lord, our identity will shine even as we go out there. In our world of chaos, troubles, and everything that we are faced with, we will remember that you are still in charge. And we will live for you, not ourselves. And that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.